And I'm sure we have a number of our members who are not healthy, who are on the live stream this evening. Let it be known to you that you are missed. We hope and pray that things go well, that you can recuperate and be with us at the next service. And if not the next service, then the following service. We'll keep you in our prayers. So we're glad you're here this evening, and we're glad for those who are on the live stream paying attention to the lesson this night. Now, you often have heard me say, I live by the motto, finish strong. We're going to talk about a king who didn't finish strong. You know, sometimes we start out strong in the faith, and we peter out at the end. This king we're going to talk about, he started out in the faith, and his pride got to him. So we're going to, for a short period of time tonight, talk about Uzzah. Now, Uzzah is also known in 2 Kings as Azariah, but most of us know him as Uzzah. He was the 10th king of Judah in the divided kingdom. So turn with me, if you will, to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, and let's briefly reflect on Uzzah. We find in 26 verses 3 through 7, where everything is going well for him as he seeks to please God. So in chapter 26, beginning in verse 3, we learn that Uzzah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 52 years. That's a long period of time. You continue to look on down to verse 4, and we find he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all his fathers had done. So he's starting out on a good line. We go in verse 5. He sought God all the days of Zechariah, who had understanding the visions of God. And look at verse 6. He made war against the Philistines, and again he was victorious over them. Verse 7. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived. So you take the first 7 verses. If it would have ended there, you could say he was strong in the Lord. He needs to be commended for that at that time period. However, there's a change that takes place. And that change takes place as you continue on in chapter 26 and verses 8 through 15. And I think the change that takes place, I don't think he could handle success very well. Because we have, as we look at verse 8, he has a situation where people are bringing tribute to him. His fame is spreading very far as he leads God's people. In verse 9, he builds towers and the corner gates. In verse 10, he builds towers and he does dig many wells. In verse 11, he has an army of fighting men went out by companies according to the numbers. Verse 12, the total number of the chief officers of the mighty men of valor of war, 2,600. Verse 13, and under their authority, the army of 307,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king. Now, we want to stop at verse 13. How are things going for him? They're going very good. Praise God. That's where the problem comes in. They're going very good for him because of God, things are turning that way. But we continue on, and we see in verse 14, he prepared for the armies. Verse 15, he made devices. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem, verse 16. Verse 16 of 2 Chronicles 26. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of God. Now, let's just take a step back. Did he start out good? Was he serving the Lord? So do you think he understood it wasn't his responsibility to do the sacrifices? Do you think he's aware of that if he's done good all those earlier years? Then what changed? Well, God's will didn't change. His disposition changed. Somehow in his mind, he put himself above the law of God. We find in the parallel passages and 2 Chronicles 26:16, the English Standard Version says, But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. I like that. His pride overcame him, did it not? He's having success in the field. He's having success with his military. He's well known. He's forgetting about God. He's forgetting about submitting to the law of God. How sad that is. Again, we have the same passage in 26:16, the NIV version. It says, but after Uzzah had become powerful, his pride led to his downfall. You know, when things do go good, we need to be careful. We need to be careful that our pride doesn't overcome us. Now, I'm not going to read this section, but back to chapter 26. And 26, as you read 17 through 21, the priest tries to stop him of going in the temple, but he doesn't follow through. He gets leprosy. He dies as a leper. What a sad ending. He started out great, but he dies as a leper because he disobeyed his God. What led to that? His pride. What led to that pride? He didn't realize all that success and all those blessings were not him, but were by the hand of God that he benefited from. And that's why I say, when you first became a Christian, surely you started out strong. And hopefully you're continuing strong. But continue strong to the end. Don't be strong for a period of time. There's no time to let up. We need to continue to be strong. So our lesson, we're going to talk about pride. Because that becomes a problem. Now, I'm not going to get into details on that we can never use the word pride. That's a whole different lesson. You know, I think in a sense we can be proud of our children. Some of you may disagree with me. I think we can be proud of their accomplishments. But that's a different pride than the pride we're talking about here. The pride that we're talking about here is arrogance. His arrogance deceived him, and he died a leper. Again, wasn't proud, happy with different congregations, and didn't he say that? Didn't he say, I boast about you, as he talked about congregations who were standing for the truth? So we've got to not take a word and run one single definition of that word throughout, and therefore eliminate that word from our vocabulary, because sometimes it's used in a good sense, sometimes it's used in a bad sense. This, as we talk about this pride, we're talking about pride in a bad sense. A pride of the arrogance of not looking to who gives us all our blessings, as was prayed in our prayer this evening. So let's look at this pride for a moment. Proverbs 16 and verse 18, this pride that is not good, this pride that will bring us down. And Proverbs chapter 16, we're all familiar with these passages. We have recorded for us concerning pride this statement from the writer. In 16 verse 18, it says, pride goes before destruction and the haughty spirit before the fall. You sometimes see that in the sports world, do you not? Now, there's one thing to have confidence, but some of our sports stars have arrogance, have pride. And lo and behold, they get brought down. And I'm sure in your lives, you've all have met people whose pride came before destruction. I'm sure you have a number of events in your life that you've known of people, maybe yourself involved, that your pride brought you down. Especially, and here's the case, our pride usually brings us down when things are going well, that we elevate ourselves too high. Is that a possibility? So we have to be careful with that. As we talk about pride, let's go to Proverbs 29 and verse 23. And Proverbs 29 and verse 23. I think you're very clear as we looked at Uzzah. Uzzah's pride brought him down. Uzzah's pride led him to choices that led him to be a leper. Proverbs 29 and verse 23. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Again, it's not teaching that we can't have self-confidence. You know, I tell young men who want to preach, prepare yourself well, and get up and preach. Preach what you've prepared. It's not the time to get up and start apologizing what you can't do. You do what you've prepared and you do it well. Are there going to be other preachers better than myself or others? Absolutely, but God doesn't determine that. We just simply do our best. So again, you have to have confidence. If you don't have confidence, I had a man come up in Illinois. We allowed him to preach. And he said, well, I really shouldn't be up here today. I wanted to tell him to sit down. Sit down. You ought to consider the privilege of being up there. Now, his mom had asked whether he could, because he came from out of town. And I don't know if he did that because he didn't prepare himself well. But the point is, let's not equate the pride we're talking about, which is bad, in that of having confidence. You know, when I go and study with somebody else, I'm confident I have the truth. I'm not arrogant, but I'm confident I have the truth. I don't take someone to Acts chapter 2 and say, well, if this is right. No, it's right. It's right. That doesn't make me arrogant. That's book, chapter, and verse. So don't mix that with the pride that's arrogance. The arrogance would be if I took the position I could never do wrong. That's arrogance. That's going to lead to my downfall. You see my point there? So again, let's make sure we understand this. As we talk about this issue of pride, remember Obadiah. Obadiah, he's speaking against the Edomites. The Edomites were always at war with God's people. And we find here they are in a strategic location. They're in the clefts of the rocks. You couldn't be in a better location. But it says in verse 3 of Obadiah, of course, we understand it has only one chapter. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who dwell in the cleft of the rock, whose habitation is high, you who say in your heart, now this is the type of pride we don't want. You who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Pretty arrogant, aren't they? We've got this strategic location. Who's going to bring us down? Well, the next verse tells us, though you ascend as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, says the Lord. And you read about the Edomites. Guess what? They were brought down. So what happened? They took a pride in their warriors and in their strategic location, but guess who they forgot? They forgot God. Could that happen to you? Could that happen to me? I think sometimes we get more in trouble with our successes than we do when we have a failure or dealing with difficulty. You know, people say, boy, if I had $1 million, if you get $1 million, I'll pray for you. Because you're going to have a lot of challenges with that. First thing I'll tell you, don't tell anybody. Keep it secret. But if you do happen to tell, and if you do have it, praise God. But now you've got more challenges. More challenges. Have you ever felt that, boy, if I had the money, I was treated so badly in that restaurant, I'd buy the restaurant and fire everybody. I felt that one time, not for a restaurant, for real estate. In Chicago, we went into an area when we first moved back, and I didn't know it was a hoity-toity area, some very high-class area. I wasn't aware of that. And we went into the real estate office. That's when you had real estate offices. You didn't have all these different ways today. And I talked to the young man. He might have been 10 years younger than me. And I told him what I could afford. And he laughed. Well, I didn't know. He actually laughed. And he said, the only thing I can show you is this house that's been burnt out. He showed me a house that had been on fire. I was so upset with it. What he should have told me is that I'm in a neighborhood that you don't have the funds to be in this neighborhood. Wouldn't that have been much easier? I tell you, if I was a billionaire then, I might have bought that real estate and fired him on the spot. But you see, that's the arrogance that comes out in us, is it not? So we have to watch out that the pride of your heart has deceived you. When we look at the case of Uzzah, he started out great, but the pride of his heart deceived him. Again, as we go on, let's look at some more specifics on pride. Why does pride come? Well, I've already said, I think when we have success, we have to watch out for pride. Let's go to some illustrations of that. in Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17, we're all familiar with this one. This is the church at Laodicea. It's a church that physically is pretty successful, financially. They're pretty comfortable. And in chapter 3 and verse 17, here's what it says. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and what? Naked. You know, I sometimes think that's one of our problems in America. We think we've succeeded, but we don't understand we don't succeed unless we're serving God. All the physical things of the world are what? Are temporary. And that can change overnight. Remember years ago, a friend got a fancy, fast sports car. And we lived in a neighborhood that wasn't the best. Our car one time was stolen. And he came to visit us. And he was so enamored with his car, he couldn't pay attention to us, because guess where he was the whole discussion? By the window, making sure nobody's going to steal his car. You know, we get so preoccupied with physical things, we forget about God. Now, I'm not saying he should have left his keys in the car and said, I challenge you to steal it. That'd be arrogance too, wouldn't it? But the point is, if we're not careful, material things lull us into a sense of security that we shouldn't have. Again, I want to go beyond material things. I think we're in a great country. I think we have a lot of military that we can have a confidence in. But that's not what's going to save us. God is going to save us. God is going to save this country if he so chooses. All the power we have, and I'm not suggesting we shouldn't have an army. I believe in having an army. But the reason we are where we are and what we are is because God has blessed us. The question is, will he continue to bless us? Or will we be brought down to our knees because we have turned away from God? Do you think there are some Americans who think no one can take this great country down? Do you think there are some people like that? Listen to me. We can be taken down. That's why we have to look to God. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to have strength in him and not become arrogant with who we were. And we think, well, how can anyone take us down? Look at us. Now, Mike's the historian. Ask him about the Roman Empire. Was it more powerful than America? You better believe it. Where's the Roman Empire today? You see my point? We can't get caught up in the physical, whether it be riches, whether it be physical might. We have to be our confidence in God. We can be thankful for those things, but never put our focus on those things. Let's go to another illustration. In John chapter 8, as we try to eliminate the pride that would turn us away from God, we have recorded for us in John chapter 8 and verse 33. It tells us here, as he's talking, verse 32, he's speaking to the Jews that the truth will make you free. We had a study on this a few weeks ago. Now look at the Jews' response. And they answered him, and by the way, how do you think they answered him? Again, we don't know. You think they're a little bit arrogant in their answer? Jesus said you can be made free if you do the truth. My opinion is when they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to any lie. That's not true. If they knew their own history, they knew that wasn't right. We are never in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Wow. They were a little bit offended that Jesus even suggested that they would be made free because they were Jews. And their Jewish history and their blindness on traditions of men blinded them from the truth. Isn't that sad? Sometimes religious people are like that. We're blinded because we know just enough not to know anything. What I mean by that, we've taken passages that we like and made them say what we think they should say, and how dare you even challenge me? Again, we got to be careful with that, do we not? Including in the Lord's church. I'm grateful I'm a part of the Lord's church. I'm grateful I'm part of this congregation. But I don't take the arrogance just because it says Church of Christ meets here that it's going to be faithful unless I see what they're teaching, unless I see what they're following. How about you? And I believe this congregation, led by elders who are godly, are leading the congregation in the right direction. But could this congregation go off base? Yes, it could. So don't become arrogant. It'll never happen to us. Oh, that's where you're going to get yourself in trouble. That's why we have to keep on studying. That's why you got to finish strong. We can't just start strong. We can't be strong in the middle. We've got to finish strong. We've got to watch out for our pride, as did the Jews. And then this one. We're all familiar with this one. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, this is the man who was just totally satisfied with himself. And really, when I read this, to me, in Luke 18, this is the problem of our society today in America, that we trust in ourselves. You go talk to your religious neighbor. Oh, you don't have to talk to me. I have my religion. Okay, I have my religion. And that's true. They have their religion. My question is your religion in harmony with what the truth teaches? Well, I have my religion. Go teach someone else. Okay. You know, if you don't want to be taught, that's totally up to you. But isn't that how it is? Isn't it oftentimes our religious heritage? And again, my religious heritage is Lutheran. My wife's religious heritage is Baptist. So we're not neither one of us in our religious heritage. Now here I want to make this point again. I am not suggesting that there are not good people in those groups, because there are. I'm not suggesting there are not sincere people in those groups, because there are. I am suggesting to you, you can be good and sincere and yet incorrect. Was Paul, when he was known as Saul, in his mind, was he a good man? In his mind. In his mind, was he sincere? Was he wrong? Yeah. And that can happen today with our denominational neighbors. That can happen today with you and I. Luke chapter 18, it tells us this. In Luke chapter 18, verse 9, and he spoke this parable to some who trusted themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple and prayed, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I want to stop here. Does he think well of himself? Patting himself on the back a little bit? Yeah, I think so. I fast 2 times a week. I give tithe of all that I possess. Wow. In other words, God, you ought to be lucky I'm serving you. Let me burst the bubble. God don't need you. God doesn't need me. You see, we get things turned around. We should be doing things, but whatever we do, it's not because God needs us, because he can get along just as well without me, but I can't get along without him. And then you had the publican. He goes on to state, and the tax collector, the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went to his house justified, rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Again, I warn this to young men who decide to preach full time. Don't think too highly of yourself. The congregation will get along without you. If I died tomorrow, this congregation would get along just fine without me. Sometimes people think, well, boy, if it was, you ever hear people talking, Christians talking, if it wasn't for me. Well, when it comes religion, God don't need me. I need him. And I look at it as a privilege to get to preach. I don't look at it that you're privileged. No, I look at it, I'm privileged. The privilege to share with what I've studied with you. And I try to grow. Now, I'm not going to tell you I've not revised lessons. I revise lessons because that's how they get better. That's how they get better. But I need to keep on doing that till the day I die. Now, you think about it. If I've preached for 40 years, do you think I have a few lessons in my files? But I don't run into my file and get a previous lesson, don't pay attention, and then Sunday morning use it. You know why? First of all, I'm going to have to be accountable to God. Second of all, I've never, ever in my whole life put together the perfect lesson. There's always room for improvement. Now, getting away from me, the same is with you. I hope you're successful in doing the work of the Lord. And keep on keeping on. We need you to do the work of the Lord. But you're only doing what God expects of you. And we need him. Let's not get... You know, I used to tell preachers years ago, I'm glad we don't do this anymore. Congregations used to really focus how many baptisms they had in a year. I had 10 baptisms this year. I had 15. Remember that those years back, everybody? We shouldn't focus on that. Because number one, who should get the credit? God should. Number two, it goes beyond baptism. I worked with a congregation that was having difficulty. The guy before them baptized a lot of people. A lot of people. And he let everybody know he baptized a lot of people. Trouble is, none of them grew in the grace and knowledge of the truth. They all kind of, it was like the revolving door. They were in and out. And you know people like that? They're in and out, in and out. But oh, he was proud to say, I've gotten older and more cranky. When people tell me that, and I don't hear it much anymore, when they tell me how many they were baptized, I said, well, what did you teach them? Oh, the gospel. So where's the power in the gospel? And perhaps were there others involved? And I'm going to tell you, 99.9% of the time, there's others involved of that person coming forward. It's not just that one dynamite lesson that got them. And that I warned that to young preacher. Don't get so preoccupied. You know, when you go and talk about other congregations, why you should work with them, don't tout yourself. Tout the work. It's we together. It's not based upon one or two men. Now, we all heard the name of Max Lucado. At one time, he was identified with the Church of Christ. I'm glad they took that name off, that he's no longer identified with the Church of Christ. Boy, the pride that man must have, because you know what? People would call to say, is Max preaching today? My response, who cares? What ought to be concerned is the truth being spoken today? That's what we ought to be focusing upon. So again, whether it be preacher or a member or whoever, we've got to remember we can't trust in our own righteousness. We've got to submit to God's righteousness. Don't let that pride overtake us. Oh, and those of us that are older, don't rest in the past. Well, when I did that, I don't care what you did. What are you doing now? Right? We all can look to the past on some good things we were doing, but you can't live in the past. You got to live in the present. What are we doing right now for the case of God? Churches sometimes get proudful. Congregation in Illinois, that's no longer there. It used to be a congregation of over 200 people. It no longer exists. Was the biggest congregation conservative in the Chicagoland area, no longer exists. You know why? Pride. Pride. Be careful, people. Let's not have that happen to us. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. The pride of Uzzah we have recorded for us here. It's interesting because when you go to verse 13, it's showing us how to overcome temptation. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, before you get to verse 13, when you get to verse 12, it says, therefore let him who thinks he stands, what? Take heed lest he, what, fall. And then it talks about no temptation has taken you. See, when we think we can handle it is when we're going to get ourselves in trouble. Is that a possibility? That's why when a young preacher asks me, what would you suggest? The first thing I tell him, never study with a young lady by yourself. Never do that. I am not suggesting that he's got evil motives. I'm not suggesting she's got evil motives. But you're putting yourself in an awkward situation. And that awkward situation down the road might change into something else. Now, if I had a home study and it was with a woman, it was with two or more. And when my son was younger, he was always at the studies with me. But when I'd walk into the home and it was only one woman, I would politely excuse myself and say, well, this is not the appropriate time, nothing against you, but when the other sister's here, when the two of you together, we'll sit down and study some more. Was not making no... Then why did I do that? Because she was after me? God forbid. She's really scraping the bottom of the barrel if that's what she was doing. It's just you don't put yourself in those circumstances. Does that make sense? Sure it does. He that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. It's like the young teenager who's in first year in college, and this was in the state of Florida, and he's going down to the Daytona Beach at the break, and he had to let me go. Hey, preacher, where do you think I'm going? I have no idea. I'm not a mind reader. I'm going to Daytona Beach. Okay. I told him, be careful. That's all I said, be careful. Yeah, I can't tell him he can't do that. If he wants to go down to Daytona Beach, that's up to him. But let me ask you something. What usually happens at spring break at Daytona Beach? What do you think happens? Alcohol? Sometimes drugs or many times drugs? Great deal of immodesty? And a great deal of promiscuousness? That's what happens. I mean, I don't have to guess that. That's a fact. That's why they congregate at beaches like that. And he said, don't worry about me. And I said, I worry because of what you just said. Don't worry about me. He that thinketh he standeth, what? Take heed lest he fall. I said, if you're a normal male human being and your hormone, and I told him this, and your hormones are running through your eyeballs, perhaps that's not the place you should be at spring break. Now, are there Christians who live in Daytona Beach? Absolutely. I'm not one of them. But you get my point? He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Don't worry about me. I can go into a gambling joint. I'm just going to watch the TV. What are you in the gambling joint for anyhow? You might not gamble the first 25 times, but maybe it's on 26. Man, he that thinketh he standeth, what? Take heed lest he fall. You see, our pride allows us to make bad decisions, which leads to worse consequences, and then we want to blame God or someone else. Let's go on. There is a solution. Very simple. You and I are not know-it-alls. God is. No matter how much I study, I need to learn more. I need to be helped by my brother, and my brother needs to be helped by me. And I need to be careful on different circumstances. Let's look at some passages before we close. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, and verses 5 and 6. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to the elders, and yea, all ye be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. Humility. God has blessed my wife and I to be together for 50 years. Actually, I'm wrong. 51 years, going into 52. It's not because I just know everything. It's that we've been patient with one another, and we grow with one another, and sometimes we flat out aggravate one another. And we turn to God's word to overcome those things. when it's the aggravating part. We don't say, I quit, it's over, I'm gone. No, you stick with it. You do those things. Do I have some special skills? No, God has the special skills in His Word. I just have to put those into practice. And I have to remember that at my age now. I can't rest in the past. Well, we must have a great marriage because I've been married for 51 years. I've seen lengthy marriages that were horrible. Have you? I don't want to have a lengthy marriage that's horrible. So I need to humble myself. I believe Brother, I forgot his name. See what happens when you get old? I've told some of you, I used to tell my family, who's the best driver in the family? I had my son, my daughter, my wife, myself, and my son-in-law. Now we've got my two granddaughters. They don't even count yet. They're too young. I used to always tell them I was the best driver because I've driven all these miles for all these years. And like I said to some of you a couple of weeks ago, I learned I can't even pull out of a parking spot. That was humbling. That was literally humbling to me. Chuck, you're turning the wrong way. No, I'm not. I'm following your direction. No, you're not. And you know, you heard that, okay, I quit. I'm going to go get my son-in-law. I didn't want her in the car. Let me try. I'm thinking to myself, okay, smart aleck, go ahead, try. First time, she pulled it out. I'm speechless. Because I considered myself the best driver. Brethren, I'm not the best driver. You ride with me, you ride at your own risk. I take no accountability because my brain doesn't work right sometimes. You get the point. We got to be humble. Now, I use something silly like that, but if we can't deal with silly things like that, what about the important things? Again, in John chapter 15 and verse 5, let's go to John chapter 15. In fact, I think God's playing a game with me because the older I get, the more humbled I get. I was studying on Thessalonians, and I'm working on a workbook on Thessalonians. I've studied Thessalonians many times. And I walked out to my wife the other day. I said, I am just simply dumb. I've studied this book so many times, and now things are coming out I never even considered before. I should know these things. So I say, the older I get, the more humble I get. When I was a young preacher, I thought I had a lot of the answers. God's Word has the answers. And there are times I don't know where to go in God's Word to find the answers, so I've got to study. How about you? Humbling as we get older. We find in John 15 and verse 5 it telling us this. As we talk about, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and him bears much fruit. You say, well, what's that have to do with this lesson? Just keep on reading. For without me, what? You can do nothing. Without Christ, I'm nothing. I need to remember that. I need Christ. I need his teachings. I need to grow. I can't rest on the past. Well, I've studied for close to 50 years. I don't need to study anymore. No, because I see there's things I've missed. I've got to go back and study more. And learn more. And then what I learn, hopefully share with others. Humility. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, my favorite passage. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. You see, when Uzzah was getting ready to go make that offering, he needed to humble himself. Things were going good, but it was by the grace of God they were going good. Not simply by him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, we have recorded for us here, now thanks be to God who always leads us to triumph. You say, well, what's that have to do with humility? Look at the next two words. Always leads us to triumph where? In Christ. My friend, let me tell you this. You're not going to triumph without Christ. You may think you are, but you're going to fall flat on your face. I need Christ to guide me day by day. I need his teachings to guide me day by day. And as I'm coming closer to the end of my journey, I got to keep on pressing on to the best of my ability day by day. Will I do some things right? Praise God, yes. Will I need to make corrections in some areas? Praise God, He gives me the time to do that. But I can never put my little fat stubby finger and expect God to owe it to me. He gives it to me through His Son as I serve Him. Trouble is in America, you know what? We're too smart for ourselves. We think we got all the answers without God and His Word. We are a very knowledgeable society. But in my estimation, talking to people, with each and every year, we're getting dumber in regard to the Scriptures. That's the truth. We are getting dumber in regard to the Scriptures. And what should we know the most about? The Scriptures. As we close, appreciate your contention this evening. James chapter 4. Let's go to James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. Very simple passage. We've studied it many times before, at least I'm sure you have. In James chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. But He gives more grace, therefore He said, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Parents and grandparents, if you haven't paid attention, are you humbling yourself as you consider your children and grandchildren? Because you don't have control over the circumstances? But you have a God who's concerned. Thank be to God for that. I pray for my children, grandchildren every single day. Not that they're doing anything bad, but I don't have control. But who does? God does. Pray that your family and yourself stay true to the truth. We need Christ. We need His Word. We need one another. And we need to push to the end. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, I would hope that you would choose to do so, repenting of your sins and being baptized, and then just keep on growing. You're going to have ups and downs. You're even going to get discouraged. I don't know where people think, well, if I become a Christian, everything's going to be just fine. Well, for a while. But there'll be times you'll be overwhelmed. But you stick true to the truth. God won't let you falter if you stick to Him. You stick to His pattern. But don't become arrogant. And remember Uzzah, when things went well, he went the wrong way. When things go well for us, be careful you don't go the wrong way as we stand and as we sing.